Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Beis. And we left off at the two dots, about a quarter of the way up on the base. So the Mishnah, besides talking about the actual halakha, that's something that's mechubar to the karka, is not considered to be kosher schach so long as it's mechubar, also subsequently says a klal of two other requirements. The two other requirements are that if it's called davar shemekabel tuma, if it's something that's mekabel tuma or it's ein gidulo min hakarka, so then it's not roy for sichuch. But if it's both gidulo min hakarka and it's not mekabel tuma, so then it is roy for sichuch. Because it's possible to have something that is gidule karka, but it's not kosher, a fruit, mekabel tuma, it's edible, mekabel tuma, can't use it. Or you could have things that are not mekabel tuma, not considered to be gidulei karka, such as the skin of an animal, as Rashi gave yesterday. And then even things, something which is completely kosher, basically just a stick from a tree, as long as it's connected to a tree, it's not kosher. That's a different issue, that it's actually mechuber at that time. Zeh klal is, says the Gemara, minohani milah. Now you understand that you've been talking about it as this is a given, but how do we know it's a given? Omri shlokish omar kro. The Torah says, "Ve'edi ya'aleh min ha'aretz." So what does that reference? The Eid is a basically steam that's rising from the ground, which is an anan. And it says that that Eid, v'yishkar kol p'nei ha'adama. So just like the Eid, z'davar she'eino mekabel tuma, it's not shayach for it to be. This is neither kalim, nor ochlim, nor mashkim. It's how can it be mekabel tuma? And it certainly comes from the earth, gidulo min ha'aretz. Of sukkah, assuming that a sukkah is essentially an aid. A sukkah is based on the idea of anane kavod. So that sukkah is considered to be the equivalent of the aid, which is olam min ha'aretz, and therefore it has to be inome kabel tuma, and it has to be gidulo min ha'aretz. So in other words, the Gemara fantastically knows precisely where to look. Because the whole inyan of sukkah is that it's the source of water. That's what we do. The whole avodah of sukkah, nisuch hamayim, and the avodah of the human being on earth, of dola shomro, is presented in Bereshis in terms of, originally there was just a cloud, and then came along human beings, and they had to pray for rain. And that's exactly what the sukkah is. The sukkah is the pre-rain, the cloud, in which the Adam has to pray, bring the nisuch hamayim, all of the ceremonies on rain, and bring fertility, which is what we do with all of our avodah of the arba minim and so on, to recreate the fertility of Gan Eden. So incredibly, the Gemara looks directly to Gan Eden, to pre-humanity, to the Ediala. And that becomes now the makor of the whole concept of the sukkah, which later is expressed in Anane Kavod in the Midbar. So, Heini, Chalamad Yom Anane Kavod, how are you? So you did another one of these schlep jobs, half across the road? Is this acceptable, gentlemen? Thank you very, very much. Okay. So, any of the mani omran ane kavod hayu, if we view, we'll see later on, this is a major, major question. What exactly is kibbutz sukkot or shavtit b'nei Yisrael? Does it refer to literal sukkot, or does it refer to the anani ha-kavod that followed Yisrael in the midbar? So if you hold that the sukkah is essentially called Hashem ane kavod, so then it makes sense to go directly to the primeval aid to learn out the dinim of the sukkah. And the Besukot or Shafti is not directly a reference to the Hanani HaKovet. So then according to this, what right would we have to do to look to Bereshit and an aid to tell me the dinim of the Schach? The Tanya. How do we see this machlok? The Tanya. The Besukot or Shafti of Israel. Anane kavod ayu divi Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Akiva omer sukkot mamasha sulem. So Enichel Rabbi Eliezer, who says that it's anane kavod, it makes sense to go to the aid ya'aleh min ha'aretz. But according to Rabbi Akiva, Michael Amemar, how does Rabbi Akiva know that the klal of governance mekabel tuma ven gidulo min ha'aretz is what defines what's kosher l'schach? By the way, it's very, very. Wait a minute. Kiyos Rav Dimi, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is quoted as saying, "Omar chagasukot ta'aselachan." Once again, we look to the pasuk that talks about the relationship of the sukkah to the idea of a chag, something we've spoken about earlier. Makish sukkah l'chagiga. Before we learned out LaHashem, but just like the Shem Hashem is chal al chagiga, so too Shem Hashem is chal al sukkah. Tell me the dinim of muktzah of the sukkah. Over here, we're darshaning the comparison of chag to the sukkah directly, not to the shame. And just like a chagiga, it's a davar she'eino mekabel tuma v'gudulo min ha'aretz, av sukkah, davar she'eino mekabel tuma v'gudulo min ha'aretz. The chagiga is a type of animal. It's brought as a korban. We are now viewing, even though the Maisa, Rashi used the example of the Mishnah, of Ein Gidulo Min Ha'aretz, to be a reference to an Or of the Behemah, over here, we're extending Rabbi Yochanan, and this is Rabbi Yochanan Shita consistently throughout Shas, is that he calls a Behemah, he calls Baalei Chayim, Gidulei Karka, because they're considered to be growing from everything that comes of the earth. They're not called Gidulei Aretz, because they don't sprout from that. But they're called the Gidulim, their Parnosa, so to speak, that which makes them allowed to grow. They're called Gidulei, so they're called Gidulei Aretz, basically. Because, yeah, exactly, they're not free Adama, but they're Gidulim Min Adama, Gidulim Min Aretz. Okay? That's we don't pass them this way. In the end, we're going to be doing Rabbi Yochanan Shita here. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, then you should be able to use, in fact, anything which is Gidulei Min Aretz, which includes even Behemah, just like Hafsukah, Davshina Bekabal Truma, a Baal Chai cannot be Bekabal Truma, and it's Gidulei Min Aretz. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, then it should be limited to being only a Baal Chai. We can learn that from the Chachamim. Macha giga baalei chayim. Hafsukah nami baalei chayim. So what right do you have to use anything that's not a Baal Chai to be a schach for your sukkah? Ki osa ravi nom Rabbi Yochanan. Omar pra ba'os v'cha migor nechal mi'iklecha. And actually, the Torah says, Chag ha-sukot ta'aselecha, but you forgot the continuation of the Pasuk, and Rabbi Yochanan was basically relying on that. The end of the Pasuk is, Shivat yamim, bo'ospecha migor necha umi'ikvecha. What's the connection to the yospecha migor necha umi'ikvecha? To tell me that what it is that you're supposed to be using for your sukkah is indeed what's left over after the asif of the Goren and the Yekev. What is that? The psolet of the Goren and the Yekev. So the leftovers would be basically the leftover sticks, the pieces of wood that you have after processing your grapes, and the pieces of straw that you would have left over after processing your grain. Those are the things that are kosher. Now, those things, by definition, are not the foodstuffs, because they're the things that you have to process away from the food. So they're not the kabotuna. And those are the things that, of course, being Goren and Yekev, are gidulei karka. So there you go. That tells us what to make a sukkah with. How do you know it means the psolet? Maybe it means to take the Goren and to take the Yekev itself. I'm going to say, what do you mean take the Yekev? Yekev is a liquid. I'd love to see you make a roof out of a liquid. Yekev. How could you possibly make? Yeah, use wine as a roof. Maske for Rabirmia, why not? You know, they've got this congealed wine that they use all the time. Take the war, you know. I mean, now the soldiers going to have what to drink. They concentrate it. Maybe it's the Yayin Karush. Avam Yisnir. Famous stuff. It's like really hot stuff, baby. You put that stuff over your sukkah, and let me tell you, you'll be in a high the whole time. And maybe that's what it means. It says Rabbi Zeira. I'm telling you, it was so clear. Everybody knew this drusha. Comes on Rabbi Yirmiyah, throws a hatchet into the middle of this nice drusha. And I don't know how to answer him. I mean, I think it's crazy, but I can't prove it. There you go. Maybe I should give a good eitzah to the Golan Winery. I should start something new. So, now I don't know how to disprove this. You know, what do I do now? Says Rav Ashi, well, you could be bedaig in the pasuk. It says mi gornecha. What is it? Be'ospecha gornecha. It's mi gornecha. The lo goren atzmo, that which comes from the goren, but not the actual goren itself. The mi ikvecha lo yekev atzmo. So that's basically telling him that certainly is not referring to the actual contents of the yekev. Rav Chista Amar. Rav Chista says, well, what we can do is we can look to Nach. Even though you can't learn a drasha directly, you can't pick a raya from Divrei Kabbalah to Divrei Torah, Sarklal, but you could certainly see a gilui milta of what was meant in the pasuk in the Torah. If you tell me, well, I can't disprove Rabbi Yirmiyah, maybe his hatchet sounds crazy to me to go use congealed wine as your roof, but the fact is, if you take a look at the way in history, in the Femia, they went and they told everybody, they were Mashmiya Kol, B'chol Arayim, when it came time for Sukkot. Tzu'u Ehar, V'haviyu Alei Zayit, V'alei Atzei Et Shemen, V'alei Hadas, V'alei Tmarim, V'alei Etz Avod. Note the constant stress on the Alei. Why is it stressing that? To tell you that only the Alim are kosher, not the actual tree that has the, they're not the fruits of those trees. Those are fruit trees. So dafka the Alei. That's the kashi. That's what he's saying. So how do you know that it would be? Yeah. I know. Wait a minute. As far as I know, the eight avot is a reference to hadasim. Isn't that why it's called hadasim? Are called because they're all covered. So they're a thing. How do you list separately alei hadas and alei eight avot? That's really weird. All along, we always assume an eight avot is an eight. It's just a side question. But what does it mean? I know hadas. I know eight avot.
Rav Chisda, those are two different things. The hadas itself grows wild. The normal hadas that grows wild, the hadas shoter, does not have that three-pronged leaf that covers the entire stick. So you can't call it Eitz Avot. It's just called a hadas. And Eitz Avot is a very unique hadas. It has that thick structure in which the top of each leaf comes all the way up to surround the tripart, minimal tripart of the leaf above, so that it actually looks like a braid all the way up. You don't see any of the stick. And indeed, there were two separate needs. Hadas shoter was used as a beautiful covering for the sukkah. It's great. Smells beautiful. It's just gorgeous. They used to use hadas for the Yitzchak itself. And the Eitz Avot was used for the Lulav, so it was sensible, beautiful.
Zuk da Heilige Mishnah.
Chavilei Kash, Chavilei Yitzim, Chavilei Zradim, Ein Besachachim. You cannot use, the Yerushalmi Tosis brings here that a Chavilah means 25 sticks. It's a standard Chavilah. You can't use a package of straw, or a package of wood, or a package of zradim. Zradim are the soft, initially they're soft bamboo shoots which can be used to give to an animal to eat cane shoots. And then they become hard and you use them for fuel. You can't use them. V'kulam shehitiran. If, however, you untie them, then you're able to use them. She wrote. V'kulam sherot litvanot. You can always use any of the above things from all of the previous mishnayos that were possible for the sukkah. All of these things were kosher for the walls because the definition of Sukkot, which we brought a raya that has to be psolet going to Yekev, is only sachach. Even though we use the words before Sukkot, 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 to tell me the number of walls, that was only a remez, remember. But the word Sukkah has no reference to walls, only to the sichel. Therefore, there's no pegam in the Sukkah. By the way, it's a beautiful Kabbalah given over from the Tata Shulchan by his from his Rebbe the Gra, in which he says that if you add up all of the things that are possible for the sukkah in this entire mesechta, they equal sukkah without the vav. And if you add up all of the sukkahs that are kosher, that the Mishnah the Brachos talk about, they equal sukkah malay with the vav. So this is where he brings it. It says over here, all of the above are kosher. All of the above that are not kosher is the samach, chof, and the hay. That's the number of possible. So that gives you a challenge, you know. The Rambam met that challenge with the Tayyag mitzvahs. Let's see if we can beat that challenge with a number. Now, before we begin this sugya, it's a very, very confusing sugya because it seems to talk about two things which basically equal the same thing. We are about to embark on the real sugya of the Tasev Olam HaNasi problem. We had the Tasev Olam HaNasi, basically it was introduced with the Mishnah that spoke about the need to be Menameya, that focus we had yesterday between Rav and Shmuel, that if you cut the little ivy that was growing over the trellis and make it into a sukkah, so we had a machlokas, whether the act of cutting was the creation of the sukkah, or whether you would have to actually move the pieces up and down in order to do an act of putting down schach. We didn't openly discuss there the problem of Tasev Olam HaNasi, we sort of took it for granted. What would be a classic case of Tasev Olam HaNasi where there would be no question whatsoever? Somebody walks into his barn, you know, and he has his field, he's got a haystack in his field. And now he goes and he hollows out the haystack, leaving a layer of hay, which is now his schach. He never made a roof at all in such a case. The roof ended up being made as a result of his hollowing it out. So that's a classic... That's a classic Ta'asev Olam HaNasi. You don't work on your roof. You did nothing to the roof. Not even an act of Katsitsa. The roof just appeared by virtue of removal of something else. That's no Asiya whatsoever on the roof. Now, we also have something that's a little bit less, but that would be common enough, a Ta'asev Olam HaNasi that is conceptual, entirely conceptual. What is that? Remember that we had a machlokas earlier between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai as to whether a sukkah has to be made l'shem chag. Okay, sukkah yishana, 30 days before, kavanas not lachak. However, even though Beit Hillel said there's no need to have a sukkah that's made for Sukkot, but there is certainly a concept called a sukkah, which means that something was made to provide shade. That's what a sukkah is. So even though you have something which does provide shade, as opposed to the haystack never provided shade, you actually have something that provides shade. How does it provide shade? I'll tell you, for instance, you've got a little drying device. It's like a ladder, one of these things the kids climb on, you know. And you put your piles of sticks on there so the air can get in underneath and on top, and it dries quickly in the sun. Okay, so all year round you do this, you pick up your stuff, you dry it out so you can have your firewood ready. Comes close to Sukkot, you say, hey, look at that. Basically, I got a sukkah. What do I need to do anything else for? I'll sit under there because I have my sticks right on top. So what you really had over there was something that was made as an otsar. Now, otsar doesn't necessarily, the technicality of otsar simply means something that's being used in situ for no particular reason. You're storing it there. Over here, you're storing it to dry. But that's called gzerat otsar. What's gzerat otsar? That in the event, lemaisif, I would have decided that's a sukkah. It's not a sukkah. It's a conceptual task of a lomanasa. Did you do anything to make a roof for shade? No. What do you mean? I put down the... Yes, but you didn't put it down to make a roof for shade. Everybody is motivated that there needs to be some act of asiya of a sukkah qua sukkah. Not making something which then is determined to be a sukkah. So this is a much more sophisticated problem of Tasev Alominos. Both of these would be the same, and they would be possible for sukkahs. Whether I hollowed out my haystack, or I made a conceptual determination that I hereby dub the Shady Lane. Same thing. That's Shady Lane. That's it. I mean, maybe Anne of Green Gables would have called it the bright and shining Shady Lane, but it's still Shady Lane, and it's only afterwards dubbed the, right? Now the question is, sometime the Mishnah, as we'll see, uses the word ein misachachim, and sometimes the Mishnah uses the word enosuka, which seems to imply that one is a fatal problem, and you can't ever use it as a sukkah, and the other one is a problem that can be addressed. What we want to do is we want to be mechalik between those cases. Precisely how we're going to be mechalik between the Mishnah is a big machlokas with Shonim, as we'll see. However, here it says ein misachachim behem. Now, ein misachachim behem seems to mean this is not a good idea. Perhaps it's addressable. Perhaps it's only the Rabbanan are telling you it's not a good idea. But it's not a good idea. When I come to this Mishnah, I could have understood the Mishnah as saying, I have every intention to make a sukkah, and I'm coming up with my pile of wood, and I say, you know what? Instead of just drying this out, why don't I put it down to make a sukkah? And I do so. In this Africa. No, you shouldn't make a sukkah that way. Therefore, it's mashmah that what we're talking about is a gezerah. Since it's very often it happens that people will only ex post facto decide, hey, that makes a good sukkah. But when they put it down, their intent was only to dry it. So that's called gzerat otsar. I'm worried that even though I'm not using an otsar, since it's difficult for people to know the difference between those cases, we make a gzerah, that something that is a commonly used otsar situation, such as drying a pile of chavilah, don't use a chavilah at all, because maybe you'll end up using a chavilah that was an otsar, and that's possible because of Tasev Alominos. The other Mishnah that we're going to discuss was the hollowing out of the haystack. The hollowing out of the haystack, it says, enosuk, not a sukkah at all. So there it seems to be talking about the actual case where it was a problem of Tasev Alominos. You only did the hollowing out. You didn't then lift up the roof and let it set back down again and so on. This Mishnah is mashma, that you did it right, but we're telling you shouldn't do it because it might be done wrong. Now that seems a little arbitrary, and this we're going to have to discuss in the Gemara. Why is it not arbitrary? But let's take a look now at the way that the Gemara gradually discovers this, because I've given you all of the information at the end, because otherwise it's very confusing. The Gemara takes it very naively, doesn't note the difference between the words ein misachachin or ein osuka, ignores that difference up front, pretends that gzerat otsar is something that is innately different from the problem of Tasev Alomen Ha'asui, even though Gzerat Otsar is nothing but a conceptual Tasev Alomen Ha'asui, but one step earlier, don't let it come to it. And therefore, the Gemara is very confused when it begins, and it takes the daf for it to figure out what was going on. So, Amar Rav Yaakov, Shamati Minei de Rav Yochanan Tart. Rav Yochanan explained to me that there are two problems in these two cases. The two cases being Chodoha, one case is our Mishnah's case, of using a package of wood. The Edah, the other case was, the case that we're going to have later on, which is Achotek Begadish, La Sotlo Sukkah, Ina Sukkah. Somebody who hollows out that haystack, and he leaves the upper layer, now he's got a layer of Tzchak, that's not a Sukkah. He took those two cases, and he said to me, one of those cases is a problem of Gzerat Otsar, and one of those cases is a problem of Tasev Alomen Ha'asui, and darn, I can't figure out which one is which, because every time I look at it, I see the elements really are both in each. I don't know what he means. So I can't figure out which one he's calling Gzerat Otsar, and which one he's calling a problem of Tasev Alomen Ha'asui. Om Rav Yirmiyah, said Rav Yirmiyah, well, if you can't figure it out, what we can do is we can look into other things that Rav Yochanan said and see what he was referring to. Nizdei Anan. Let's try to figure it out ourselves. What did Rav Yochanan mean? Since Rav Chiya Bar Ava quotes Rav Yochanan as saying the following, Mipnei ma amru, chavilei kash v'chavilei yitzim, v'chavilei zeradim, ein misachachim behem. What's the problem in our Mishnah that leads the Chachomim to tell us not to use packages? I'll tell you why, said Rav Yochanan. Because pa'amim, she'adam ba min ha'sadeh ba'erev. Does it not often happen that a person comes at night, back from his work, v'chavilato k'tefo, he's got a big backpack of this package of wood on his back. So what does he do? Ma'ale u'minicha agave sukato, k'dei le'yavsha. Now what he does is, he puts it on that thing that is going to be his sukkah during the chav. But it isn't a sukkah now. It's a place where you could put things to let them dry out. And he just puts it down k'dei le'yavsha. Now this is 2 months before Sukkot. As Sukkot approaches, he decides, v'nimlach alea, he then determines in his mind, hey, why don't I use that as a sukkah? V'atorah amra ta'aseh. The Torah said, make a sukkah l'shem tzel. You don't need it. A sukkah does not have to be made for the purpose of a sukkah. But the definition of the word sukkah, the definition is a building constructed to provide shading, not something that is there that provides shading. So in your deciding to call something that is there a building for shade, you are basically creating a sukkah that was already there by dubbing it something. So it lacks in the tasa. There's no tasa. There's only the osui, which is now determined to be something else. And that would be posel midiraisa. And therefore, even though this is not the case, in this case you're actually using your package. But could it not have happened that in one day you'll decide ex post facto to call the package a sukkah? Therefore, don't use it even up front as a sukkah, because it's too similar. So now, does this not show us, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, that the problem that Rabbi Yochanan had with our Mishnah is gzeirat otzar? He's explaining what might have been. Now, of course, gzeirat otzar is here called tasav lemanasu, because that's what the iser of the gzeirat otzar. A gzeirat otzar means a case where what I'm doing is not tasav lemanasu, but we have a gzeira that it is similar to the otzar where it would have been tasav lemanasu. But obviously, every gzeirat otzar is predicated on the idea of tasav lemanasu. That's the first confusing thing in the Gemara, okay? But there's no such thing as a psul otzar. It's just that until now, tasav lemanasu referred to an act, and now tasav lemanasu refers to a thought. No, the gzeira would be the drabana. But the case, if you actually did it, would be a deraisa.
Because if it's the right to death, tasav lemanasu.
Correct. Is because of Tassav Lamanasa, correct. So then that means that he's understanding the Mishnah of the hollowing out the Gadish, the haystack. That he understands to be a real case of Tassav Lamanasa, a psul, not because you might do it, because you did do it. Now that's very arbitrary. Because, I mean, it's just as easy to call the case of Chotek Begadish that you might do it, but it's really talking about where you lifted up the top. And over here, it might be talking about that you did do it. And that it's possible Bishum Tassav Lamanasa. It doesn't say in the Mishnah, because remember, we haven't analyzed the language yet. We haven't looked at the words Ein Mesachtin as opposed to Ein Asukah. So if we don't notice that difference, then it seems totally arbitrary to say, our Mishnah is talking about the fear that in other circumstances it might be possible for Tassav Lamanasa, and the Mishnah about Achotek Begadish is talking about that it actually is possible for Tassav Lamanasa. I mean, maybe the other way around. Maybe here you did it to dry out the Chavilah, and therefore it's possible because of Tassav Lamanasu. And the case of Achotek Begadish is that you hollowed it out and then lifted the roof, and it isn't possible because of Tassav Lamanasu. It's only possible because you might forget to lift up the pieces. And then it would have been possible for Tassav Lamanasu. So, I mean, like, you know, what's pushing Rabbi Yochanan to just arbitrarily pick out of a hat which fish is which? That's going to bother the Gemara. But that's how close the two Pirushim are. It's all a question of, did I do it that way, or am I afraid that I might do it that way? That's all. The psul boils down to the same thing. The psul would be tasav lemanasa if I did it. If I didn't do it, but we're afraid I'll do it, we call that the gzeirat otzar, which is a gzeirah because of tasav lemanasa. So it's very, very close.
The act of unbundling, is that any type of tasav?
Yeah. Yes, that's it. When it says over here, kulan shi'itiran, kulan shi'itiran would mean that you unbundled it, shook it up, so to speak, and put it back over.
But not in the gzeirat otzar, even if I believe it as bundled, then I decide.
You're asking, is it? I'm not sure what you're asking. You're asking, is the gzeirat otzar possible b'di'avad?
No, what I want to understand is if I just put bundles up there, I mean, it's not a sukkah.
For a sukkah?
To dry up.
That's possible b'di'avad.
Right, so now.
But I didn't put it to dry. I put it to make a sukkah. So then it's possible because I might have put it to dry. That's called gzeirat otzar. Now you're asking whether the Rabbanan passeled it. That's what I thought you were asking. No, it's not what you're asking. Then what are you asking?
This big bundle of schach.
What's wrong with a bundle? You don't like big schach. So it's a psul in the Solomon Bible. What's wrong with a big bundle? It's actually very creative. You could have it standing vertically. You could say it's Kinegadatsi Shiti Maimdim, and it's a remez to the Mishkan, and a whole business. Wait a minute. Hey, you don't understand. Those things, the schachla netzach, you're supposed to unroll them. It's supposed to be horizontal. No, that's a different problem. See, that's a whole other Mishnah. That issue. Okay. But we'll be getting there. Don't worry. All right. So now we have finally an explanation of, since this is Gzeirat Otsar, so then the other case of Achotei Pekadish is talking about Tasev Elamana Asi. Now, Rabbi Yaakov, how come Rabbi Yaakov couldn't figure out that himself by analyzing what Rabbi Yochanan said? Because he never heard Rabbi Chiya bar Abba's quoting Rabbi Yochanan. That's why he couldn't understand which one Rabbi Yochanan was calling Gzeirat Otsar, and which one Rabbi Yochanan was calling Tasev Elamana Asi. Rav Ashi says, even now that you explain it, I don't understand what you're talking about. You got two Mishnayos over here. There's nothing that I see that indicates one Mishnah as being more at the Rabbonan than the other one. I mean, they both seem the same thing. You're telling me that the case of Chavilei Kasha, Chavilei Eitzim, that we just had in our Mishnah, can only be understood as Gzeirat Otsar, not because of Tasev Elamana Asi. It's got to be talking about that the guy actually put it there for a sukkah. We're just concerned that maybe in other circumstances it might have been put there for drying. That's called Gzeirat Otsar. Couldn't be, that our Mishnah was talking about where he actually did put it down to dry. And then it would be possible because of Tasev Elamana Asi? How do you know? What tells you that? Mishum Tasev Elamana Asi Leka? And the case later on? Of Chotek Begadish? That's only a problem of Tasev Elamana Asi. Couldn't be that it's talking about over there, that you hollowed out the haystack and lifted up the top? And the Rabbanan said, no, I'm sorry, you shouldn't do that. Maybe next time you'll forget to lift up the top. I understand. How do you know? That's only a problem of Tasev Elamana Asi, not Mishum Gzeirat Otsar. That's not a problem. If I picked up the top and let it down, there'd be no problem. The Rabbanan wouldn't say, well, we're concerned. People will think you just hollow it out and it's okay. Who's to say that over there there's not a Gzeirat Otsar also? So where do you pick this up from? Rabbi Yochanan. How does Rabbi Yochanan respond to Rav Ashi's Taina? Rabbi Yochanan says, look, read the words in the Mishnah. The words of our Mishnah is, Ein Mesachachin Behem. Ein Mesachachin Behem means, this is not the right way to do it. L'chatchila. It's not telling you it's be'etzim pasim. So that if it's a l'chatchila, that means we're dealing with an issur d'rabbanan. What would the issur d'rabbanan be? A gzeira. That if somebody uses a package to put on his sukkah without opening it up, then it's likely that there will be a time in which the package had been dumped somewhere to dry out, and then he'll just decide to dump it a sukkah instead of doing anything with it. To avoid that, we tell you, don't use packages. That's what the meaning of the words are. So that means lechatchilahu. It's dafka a lechatchila that is telling you the ein mesachachin. What would that be? Gzeirat Otsar. But midioraita, this would be a perfectly kosher sukkah, meaning that the Mishnah is referring to a case where you had every intention of putting it down to create a sukkah, not to dry the wood. But later, hatam diktari ena sukkah. Look at the words over there. That is not a sukkah. What do you mean that is not a sukkah? Well, I can't hollow out a haystack and then lift up the top and put it back down again. Why is that not a sukkah? It's a perfectly good sukkah. So since it says ena sukkah, that means that I didn't lift it up. I left it the way it was. So it's talking about ena sukkah. It means afilo diavad. It's got to be talking about the Diorayta. And therefore, all I did, says Rabbi Yochanan, is I looked at what the words were saying. This is what the words were saying. Now, I didn't explain to you why that's the case. Why indeed, gentlemen, why is that the case? Why is there a difference between the case of the Otsar here, where we're telling you this is a bad idea, and the case of hollowing out a Gadish, which apparently is not a bad idea? Why? If the Mishnah presents it this way, it means that the only problem you have with Achotet Begadish is if you actually made it that way. But if you had been Chotet Begadish, and then you went ahead and lifted up the top and put it back down again, it would be kosher and it wouldn't be a gzera.
I think we're not worried about people doing it wrong.
There are some. You don't have to be wrong in advance.
Okay.
What in advance? Who in advance? Why not today?
Right.
What I'd be worried about is not doing the last piece. So what does that have to do with advance?
Isn't that the gzera?
No. In this case, the Gzeiras Otsar is in advance. But the equivalent of Gzeiras Otsar, the equivalent in the case of Achotet Begadish, would be, take a Mishnah, say it like this. Ein mechatetin begadish, umina'anim et hagadish, amanat latzot sukkah. Shema lo yinaneh. Would be exactly the same as the Otsar over here. Since the Mishnah doesn't say that, it only talks of psula diraita, the mashma'ut is that it's only a psula diraita. If I address that psula diraita, how would I address it? After hollowing it out, I simply pick up the roof and put it back down again. So then it would be perfectly okay, and the Rabbanan would have said, no, this is not a good idea. People are going to get the wrong idea. Don't do it. Why not?
Why
in our Mishnah, yes?
But there's a specific, like, there's a specific reason that this is what people do.
Yeah, and there, there's a specific reason that people don't normally lift up the top of their haystacks.
They're going to hollow out the haystack. They're going to lift it up.
Maybe it can't be done.
No, it's a good idea.
They said it couldn't be done. No, people blow their haystacks all the time.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
The truth is, the truth is that there are Rishonim who say what you say, namely, that it's rare. It's just that it's not much. Rabbanan don't make Xeris to cover every crazy kind of situation. It's a crazy situation. Yeah. The whole idea of not to lift it, the whole idea of hollowing out a haystack is simply, I mean, how often are you going to find a sukkah like that? Chavila Zrodim is so standard. It's mentioned as being possible. Tell me the construct of Tassav Elu Menahasu. It's not mentioned because it's so matsui that I need to decide that there's such a gezeira.
But that's just it. All through Shas, we come across these different cases where we say, come on, you can't do that. That's not going to happen.
No, but we don't make gezeiras because of cases. We use cases as laboratory examinations that are insane, just like we do in every laboratory. We take out 99% of the normal issues that would be part of it in order to have a controlled experiment. That's what a Mishnah does. It creates a crazy case. But we don't make a gezeira for a crazy case. So a gezeira at Otsar, where that's the norm, guy comes back all year round, dumps his stuff on a dried stand, and then easily could decide, I might as well use it as a sukkah. That's a reasonable gezeira. But for a guy who blows his haystack, that's not a normal gezeira.
Are we just not using the lashon we use in Shabbat, like Sigurishin and the Rashi and Kaven?
There's nothing in common.
No, I mean, to compare to Shabbat, it's like a language.
Language? Startup today, boy. I'm blowing it. You know what I mean? No, that's for sure. I'm joking. Okay. Somebody has to take up the slack. Okay, now, the other explanation is very simple. And that is, in the case of the haystack, what you did is evident. A guy went out to fix the problem of Tasev Elo Menahasu. He's got a perfectly good sukkah. What's he going now, lifting up the top and putting it back down again? So where someone goes to be metaken, there we don't make gzeira, and what if you won't be metaken? That's all that I'm doing. In a case where I never got to the point where I needed to be metaken, initially I took the pile of wood and threw it down in order to make a sukkah. There we have to worry. How aware are you of the problems? What might happen next time? Do you realize that there's a Tasev Elo Menahasu issue? So there, it makes sense to make a gzeira totsar. It does not make sense to make a gzeira when the person himself has just addressed the very problem that we're making the gzeira for. So why should we worry about him? He obviously knows what he's doing. Okay, so that would be the other explanation of the difference between the two cases. Okay. What? Yeah, that's Tosfos. We spent enough time for now on this. Fine. Omer of Yudah Amar Rav. Now we have another interesting issue that seems to approach this gezeira idea. Mm-hmm. Where do we make a gezeira? Where do we have a problem that people will not distinguish between two things that are similar and yet make all the difference in the world? Normally, when you have, remember that the din is that you have to have something that's not makabel tuma. The difference between something that is makabel tuma and not makabel tuma is sometimes very small. So, for instance, arrows. Arrows are made out of a wooden shaft, and they're made out of an arrowhead. The arrowhead is makabel tuma, right? An arrowhead would normally be makabel tuma. Now, how about if lamaisa, you have the whole thing that's made out of the same material? So what do you have? You have a male part, shaft. You have a female part, the head. If these two pieces were separate, the female part has a Beit Kibul, and therefore it's going to be Mekabel Tumah. The male shaft does not have a Beit Kibul, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah. What's the halacha? Says Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Sichecha b'chitzin, if you use arrows, zicharim, if they're male arrows, so then it's kosher, because there's no Beit Kibul, there's nothing that would make it possible here. But b'nekevot, if you use the female side, then they're psulot. Isn't that rather obvious? And here we get into the question of confusion. Zicharim k'shera, the male is kosher. Why? Of course it's plural. Why would it not be? Because ma'adatayman nigzar zecharim ato nekevot. The problem is that people don't really, usually, figure out the difference in a kli to be that aware of the difference between the female and the male. Therefore, they'll think that you can use any part of an arrow, which you cannot. Kamash malan, that we don't make such a gzera. And nekevot psulas also, isn't that pshita? Actually, it's not so pshita. Because ma'adatayman beit kibula asuila ma'alot lo shmei kibul. The point over here is that something that is permanently filled, you don't usually pull off the head from the shaft. You manufacture it separately. Once they're attached, they're attached. It's basically a throwaway item. you can recover it, you'll use it again, but you're not going to start pulling it apart. So maybe you're talking about over here something that isn't really a Beit Gibul because it isn't going to be used to put in and out. It's just part of the manufacturing process. Kamash Malam, that as long as it's not filled, it is called a Beit Gibul. It's interesting that there is another finish about the Zecharim, which Tosfos points out. It isn't all that simple. Because, for instance, suppose you have something that doesn't have a Beit Gibul, but it's asui for the tashmish of Adam. You have, let's say, a flat cutting board. A cutting board is makabel tuma, min rabbanan. But those things that are used for the direct utilization of a person as an instrument in dealing with something is makabel tuma, min rabbanan. Therefore, should have been possible for the sukkah. So there is an element of a chiddush over here that, despite the fact that, let's say, dafshel nachtonim, as Tosfos points out, would be makabel tuma, even as pshutei kliyates, there's no such idea as this being called a direct tashmish l'adam kli. So, I mean, that certainly people could...
You're not breaking the kli, though, because you don't really use the arrow. You're only using the shaft.
I'm saying use the arrow to kill people. You can't just use the shaft. It's very useful in certain cases.
But even with stopping, you just use the wooden shaft and not using the head, so therefore it's like breaking the kli, since you're not being... The kli as usable is the shaft and the arrow.
You're saying in its state of shaftness.
Right.
Yeah, so he's saying the enochinami, it's not called that. But that itself is some element of chiddush. It's not called... Yeah, but you're right, sure. Okay, but just keep that in mind, because it's not necessarily all that simple. You got like a fork that's made out of, you say, it doesn't have a Beit Gibul, you know. Okay, so this is another case then that we have of our, to add to our Samach Chof Heis. No, actually we can use it, add one to both. Samach Vav Chof Heis for the male, you know, and the Samach Chof Heis for the female. Omar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Rav Yochanan, Sichacha Ba'anitzei Pishtim. Again, before we complete this, let's just give a little background. Remember that flax grows basically as a pod. So it's just like a stick. In order to get it to be worth anything, you have to soak it. As you soak it, there are enzymes that break down now the stiff connectors between the fibers. The fibers now become suitable. They don't separate themselves. They become capable of separation. You have to take a hammer, and you have to bang them apart. And after banging them apart, you have to brush them out, comb them out. The combed out, that's what we get sometimes, used to get with your esrogim. That was raw pishtan that had already been combed. It hadn't gone through the libun. The libun would be the next stage in which it's whitened by steaming.
So,
oh, yeah, that's hairy. That was...
No, man.
They only told you it was worse there because otherwise you'd be afraid it was Kelayim. They'd be picking. I used to see guys picking it. They thought that it would asur their begodim because of... Mashadness. not that there was any problem, but people get all nervous. But anyway, so that there are different stages. After that, of course, you would do actual delibun, you would do tviyah, turn it into real thread. That wasn't thread, that was raw. So now there are three stages. One, the earliest stage, is the anitzei pishtan. So the anitzei pishtan is the actual raw, basically, is the actual finished. According to Machlokas, Rashi learns that it's more than our Esrog cover. It already went through the Libun, but it hasn't gone through Tviyah yet. So it's the raw Pishtan, but it's already been processed. So then that's possible, because it will already, according to Rashi, it'll already be Makabel Tumas Negoyim. Since it's Makabel Tumas Negoyim, so now it's not a Dovashen Makabel Tuma. Tosfos doesn't like that approach, because he says that it's actually a Machlokas in Negoyim, whether at that stage it could be Matami ben Negoyim. If some learned it needs Tviyah, this would only be going Aliba the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, Tosfos says that the reason it would be possible is because sometimes the Rabbanu would go there on something which is Korayv to be Makabel Tuma, so it's close to its final stage. There goes on it. The Rambam has a completely different approach. He says the reason that it's possible, this is a remarkable assertion, is that it's no longer called Gidulei Karka. Because of the processing. There's a stage in processing in which it ceases to be similar to what had originally grown.
It's like the paper.
It's like the paper. It's fascinating. They don't bring the Rambam in that analysis of the paper or the glass. There's a case of glass that was a glass that was made, they used to make that out of silicon, but out of ash from burnt wood. It's weird. No question whether that was kosher l'schach or not. But so this, according to the Rambam, is a problem not to do with Kabbalah Stuma, but because it's no longer viewed as Gedulei Karka. So once it's at the stage of Anitzim, it's possible. Hutzni, if it's just the Hutzni Pishtan, so now the Hutzni Pishtan, he told me, that's kosher. Hutzni is just raw. It hasn't even been put into water yet. Hushni Pishtan, what Rabbi Yochanan told me, says Rabbi Bar Bachana, was that Hushni, which is a middle stage, any idea, I don't know what the din is. That was the end of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Now, I want to add to that, said Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, that I don't even know what he meant by the word Hushni. Hushni atzman en yodea. I don't know ma nafshecha, what is your intention in defining it, because I'm not sure whether idayik velo nofitz is what he's calling Hushni, where it was basically, it was already sharui, but it hadn't been broken apart. That's what he's calling Hushni. But if it was Tori, it wasn't even broken. What? In other words, you've got the initial water. It's just Tori, Shore in Hebrew. Shore is Tori. Then you have the breaking apart, and then you have the combing apart. So I don't know. The dayak is with the hammer. I don't know whether it was dayak with the hammer, but not enough. It's with the comb. So it wasn't pulled apart. Whether that's also called Hutzni or not, or Duma Tori Velo Dayak, or even. Even if it's been just already put into water and hasn't even gone through the hammering, whether that's already the middle stage and that's called Hushni, or whether that's the earliest stage and it's just called Gidulei Karka, b'chlal not shayach l'tumah. I don't know. So I'm misupak in what Rabbi Yochanan was misupak. I don't know the terminology that he's using. Om Rav Yehuda, Hani Shushi v'Shvitzari. Anybody from Switzerland can be used as schach. The shushi and shvitzari, Rashi says they're just the types of vegetables. He brings a pirish from Rabbeinu Bachir, but I don't know what it is. It could be,
sushi?
Yeah. So I don't, does anybody, I mean, if we want to know what it isn't, we could look in the Steinsaltz picture. And if somebody has umbral art, maybe they looked into it. Ferns.
Artemisia herbs.
I see. Okay, there you go. So, they're vegetables that are not usable. So according to Rav Yehuda, Mesachim, because they're not food, there won't be Makabel Tuma. Whereas Abaya says you can use Shushi, but you can't use Shvitzaris, because my time, like even the Sari, they start stinking up. They have a terrible smell. And because of that, Shavik Luvinafi, you can end up running out of your sukkah. And we don't let you use things that are going to cause you to abandon the sukkah after all. Zaklav. Called a Vashem Kabel Tuma Minani Miliam Rishlakishama Kraved, Yalem and Aratsma, Eid Davashinam Kabel Tuma Vigidulum and Aratsav Sukha Davashinam Kabel Tuma Vigidulum and Arts. Haini Kalamandiomer Anane Kavoda, Yulamandiomer Sukot, Mamasha Sula, and Michael and Mimar de Tanya. Kiba Sukot, or Shafti Pene Israel, Anane Kavoda, Yudibili as Rabbi Akiva, where Sukot, Mamasha Sula. So Haini Kalabili as Rabbi Akiva, Michael and Mimar, Kiata Rudim, Yamra Yoker, Makra Haka Sukota, Selaha, Makish Sukala Hagiga, Maka Giga. דבר שאינו מקבל תומה וגידולו מן הארץ, אף סוכה דבר שאינו מקבל תומה וגידולו מן הארץ. אם אך הגיגה בעלי חיים, אף סוכה נעלי בעלי חיים? Ooh, that's a fatal question. כי אלת רב אינם רבי אוכלם הקרבס בכל מגורן לכל מגיפך, בפסולת גורן ויקה, וכתוב מדבר, how do you know? Maybe it's... Stop. Hello. Maybe it... How do you know? Maybe it's the Goren V'yekev Atzmo. Omer Bezer, because a Yekev is a liquid. Yev Shalas Hachechbo. Marathkev L'Revirem, Yemi Yain Karush Abom Yishnir Tzur Domele Yigulei Dveila. Omer Bezer, Omer Milta Ava Biyodah. Comes over Birmi and messes us up. Shalabi Narga. Ravashi Omer Mi Gornecha, Lo Goren Atzmo. Mi Yikvecha, Velo Yekev Atzmo. Luchistam Ar Miyarcha. Tzua Harga, Viyo Alei Zayit, Valei Yitshemen, Valei Hadas, Valei Tamarim. Valei Tzavot, Hainu Adas, Hainu Tzavot, by the way. Om Rav Chista Hadas Shoteh for the Sukkah, the Tzavot for the Lulav. By the way, Tosis, I forgot to mention it earlier, Tosis brings in a very beautiful explanation that Rabbi Yochanan, who doesn't learn it here from the Anani HaKoved, is because Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Ananim in the Midbar were on top, and therefore they're not comparable to the aid that was Olam in Haaretz. But there's a machlokas, Rish Lakish over there says the Ananim came from the bottom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Oretz, go make an Anan to be Makabal, the Hashpa of the Mayim from the Mala. So then you should learn it out from the Eid. Just kind of see, he brings this from the Yerushalmi. So it comes out to be a machlokas to Shitata. Chavile Kash, Chavile Eitzim, Chavile Zradim, Men Mitzachachim Behem, V'kulan Shitiran Kshirot, V'kulan Kshirot Etfanot. Om Rav Yaakov Shemai Etminei Rav Yochanan Tarti Chara Vida Chachotik Begadish Lasot Osuka Eina Suka. One of them he claims was the Gzerat Otsar, and one of them he said was straight out Tassav Lo Minasin, and I can't figure out which one it was. Om Rav Yirmiyah, well, I'll figure it out with you. Om Rav Chia Barav Om Rav Yochanan Because of a chashash that pa'amim shadam ba min ha-sadeh be'erah v'chavenato ha-ktefa ma'ala minichah gabe sukato k'dei le'yavsha. Then he decides to use it for schach. The Torah on that, tasev lo mano osir. Now, obviously, if this case was maybe, it was a gzerat otzar, so the other case of the chotik b'kodesh was tasev lo mano osir. And Rabbi Yaakov didn't know that because he simply had never heard what Rabbi Abarava quoted from Rabbi Yaakov Shmuel. Omer Ravashi, but it doesn't even make any sense. Hatu chavile kash v'chavile yetsim is gzerat otzer, not tasev lo mano osir. Chotek b'gadish is tasev lo mano osir, no gzeras otzer. How do you know? Says Rabbi Yochanan, I know because of the language. If it says in mesachachin b'em, so then it's telling you, lechatchilu de in mesachachin. What's that mean? That the rabbanan answered it because of gezerat otzar. But the other case it says here it's the right the shaper dabi, but there it says in a sukkah at all, which means even b'di'evet. So it must be miniyaris. It's not a sukkah. On Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Sicha kovachitzim zechorim pshera minikevot psula zechorim pshera pshita ma'adatem anigzar zechorim atem nikevot kamashmalan. Nikevot psula, it's also pshita. Ma, the tema abet kibul, which is permanently osim malot, is not called abet kibul, and the whole thing should be not makabatuma. Kamash maman. Om rabba barbachanam, rabbi yochanan, sichechaba anitse pishtan psula, buhutzni pishtan kshera, and hushni pishtan, I'm not sure. Now, the truth is, I'm telling you, said Rabbi Barbacha, I don't even know what he means by Hushni Atzman. And he had a man afshachatabi mafarish. I daik velo nofitz, he calls Hushni. But Tori velo daik isn't even Hushni. It's still Hutzni. Or maybe even Tori velo daik is already one step beyond Hutzni. And now it becomes Hushni and he's Mesupik. Omer v'yirahani shushi v'shvitzari v'sachachim bu. Abai omer v'shushi v'sachachim. Shvitzari lo mesachachim. My time at even the sorry rechayu, shovik lo v'nofik.